But that's true. Ayo Hanavi was actually as great as both combined, and we said just that he possessed the qualities of both. He was a Kohen and a Navi. They prayed to Hashem and said, Hashem, I ask you that you give me the blessing you gave to Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron the Kohen. Blessing you gave them that they never had to go through the suffering, the tragedy of seeing their student, their product, dying during their lifetime. They both passed away before Yehoshua, who was their student. Yehoshua was the student of Moshe Rabbeinu. He was also the student of Aaron HaKohen. The worst tragedy possible is to see a child, chas v'shalom, or a student pass away during one's lifetime. This they were spared. They died before, they passed away before him. Let me not have to witness the passing away of King Shaul. I don't want to have to go through that suffering. So Hashem said, that presents a big problem. King Shaul has to pass away now. But Prophet Joel doesn't let him. He doesn't let me do it. Notice the power of a tzaddik. Hashem said, he doesn't let me do it. No, he doesn't let me, I can't do it, Kaviyahu. So therefore, he cannot die now because Prophet Shmuel is alive. What other alternative do I have? Let Shmuel the prophet pass away now, and then let King Shaul pass away later. But if the prophet Shmuel is so young, he's only 52, people will start talking. They'll say he must have been a great sinner, and the penalty for sin is death. He died young because he committed sins, which is not true. He's a tzaddik emet. What then? To keep both the prophet Shmuel and King Shaul alive, let them both live, and let King David take over the kingdom, this cannot happen. Because the moment that it's time for a new king to rise up, first king must die. There cannot be one second when both are king at the same time. Karizore Kadosh says, so why not take away the kingdom of Shaul HaMelech? Let him live. He's no longer king. Give the crown to King David. This, the Zore Kadosh says, is impossible. It's worse torture than death. Worse than death for a king to see his servant now ruling as king. He'd rather have death to see something like that. But therefore, King Shaul had to pass away now. There was no delaying it at all. The rule is that when the time calls for a king to become king, it's impossible to delay that for one single second. King David had to become king now. Therefore, King Shaul had to pass away. Now, he couldn't pass away because the prophet Shmuel was alive. So he had to have the prophet Shmuel pass away first. And this is why Shmuel Navi had to die at this young age. But he was given a blessing that Zakin Shmuel, he became old very suddenly. And this, the Nizal says, we understand now, story of Jebot Nigimena about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who became the Nasi at the age of 18. He was 18 years old. He became the Nasi when Rabbi Gamaliel was deposed as chief rabbi of the Sanhedrin. They appointed Elazar ben Azariah as the Nasi then. So the Gemara says he was only 18 years old. It was very embarrassing to go sit at the head of the Sanhedrin. But suddenly, overnight, he grew a long white beard, and he said, I am like one who is 70 years old. Like 70, because I'm not really, I'm only 18. But Ezal says, in truth, in fact, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was a Gilgul of Shmuel Hanavi. This was a repeat case. Just as Shmuel Hanavi became old, suddenly, to avoid embarrassment, so too did his Gilgul. Elazar ben Azariah become old suddenly to avoid embarrassment. And this, the Nizal says, is found in those words, Arei ani, Zebaniah said, Ani keben shivim shana. Why did he say like 70? Why not like 80, like 90, like 60? I'm like 70 because I'm 18 now. I was 52 when I passed away. Hareni kib ben, kib, with the ben, the fifth ben is 52. But the ben I lived before as Shmuel and Avi, I'm now a Shirim Shana, 70 years old. 52 and 18, that's why I'm now actually 70. But combining both Gilgulim. We understand now why the same thing happened to one has happened to the other. We became old very suddenly to avoid embarrassment of others. Word file. Ivana says, Rabbi Yochanan said, there's a pasuk in the Torah which says, Ki ha'adam etz hasadeh. A person is a tree of the field. Pasuk in the Torah. Now, the pasuk there tells us, the din says, you are not allowed to cut down trees. They are alive. It's haram to cut them down. Ki ha'adam etz hasadeh, because a person is a tree of the field. Now, why does the Torah say a person is a tree of the field? Person is a person, and a tree is a tree. It's two different levels of creation. One is someach, vegetation, and one is medaber, adam. It's two levels higher. Yochanan said, because the pasuk says, do not cut down a tree of the field, because from this tree you should eat, and you should not cut it down. Bimena tocha, you should eat from it, but do not cut it down. And then the next pasuk says, another case, you should cut it down. You should destroy this tree. We have two cases of trees, one that should be cut down and one that should not be cut down. Yochanan says, the Torah tells us first that a person is like a tree. In other words, there are certain people that should not be cut down and ones that should be. Which are these? We speak about a person, Adam, it's a sadeh. This is speaking about a Talmid Chacham, a very great rabbi. There are two kinds. One, if he is a good rabbi, one who is pure, one who is sincere, one who is obedient to Torah, does not put on a false mask of rabbi like the Reform, the conservative, that one, leave, eat his fruit, learn Torah from him, follow his ways. But if he is the wrong kind of rabbi, when he does not give forth the right fruit, cut him down. Cut him down means get yourself away from him, stay as far away as possible. Do not learn his words, do not learn from his ways, Chas v'Shalom. The Yemenah says that there's a pasuk which tells us, Barazel, Barazel Yachat. Again, iron and iron together. This refers to two students that learn Torah. They are both like iron. Iron and iron, when you rub them one against the other, what happens? Both become sharpened. Both receive a razor edge. So when two students learn together Torah, Chavruta, then one sharpens the other. They discuss Torah, one asks questions, the second one answers, the second one asks, the first one answers. It causes them to think deeply, their minds become sharpened. That's why it's called iron and iron when two study together. Yemenah says, now, why did we say before that the Torah is like fire? The words of Torah are like fire. The Talmid Chacham becomes angry because of that. Why is Torah considered the same as fire? The answer is that fire cannot burn by itself. It must have something to light it. You have to have wood and additional wood to add to the fire and to light it with something. If you have, let's say, a match, which is made of wood, you have a second piece of wood, a match could light the second piece of wood. The second piece of wood cannot burn by itself at all. It must have first want to ignite it. So too, the Torah cannot exist by itself alone in one person. It must have two people studying together. One person who studies alone That person, first of all, cannot learn deeply because he has no one to arouse his mind to think deeply. Secondly, not learning deeply alone is one thing, but he forgets what he learned. He becomes very foolish, and he could become sidetracked or misled in what he learns. A person learning alone might learn something wrongly and be led to believe that he's right, and go off on a completely wrong track and perform his that, which is completely asur. But when you have two learning together, if one makes an error, the second will correct it. Two minds are always better than one. Therefore, Tuli Torah is called Etz. Etz Chayim Ilam Achzikim Beh. Wood. A tree or wood. Torah is called wood because just as you can take the largest block of wood, a large oak tree, you can take a tiny little match or a small toothpick with fire. This little match can ignite this large tree. So too can you have two people studying Torah together. One is a genius of Torah, a giant Talmid Chacham. The second one is very ordinary. A small one, this tiny student, can ignite a light, can create, give knowledge, feed knowledge to this great giant. How? Because his asking questions can bring about a deeper discussion of the Torah that's being learned. This means that a rabbi is teaching a student, and there's no comparison of knowledge between both. The student can bring more knowledge to the rabbi sometimes than the rabbi does to the student. And therefore, Rabbi Hanina said these famous words, "In my lifetime, I have learned a great deal from my rabbis, a great deal of Torah. But more than I have learned from my rabbis, I have learned from my friends. When I study together with my friends, we talk frankly and deeply in study and learning. We go far deeper than I have ever gone with my rabbis. But more than I have ever learned from my rabbis or my friends, the most I have learned from my students." Because if I have a group of students and I say words of Torah, they all rise up with questions. They force me to think deeply to answer it. I go far deeper in learning than I ever did with my rabbi or my friends. But the most I've ever learned is from my students. Point is that a person should know that this Etz Chayim, this tree of life, is Torah. This is the life for the true life for a person. This world is the true life for a neshama. This tree of life is the life for the neshama of this world and Olam Haba. We should be zocher to learn Torah with hatmada, a strong desire, a strong will, and in this zechut of Torah, we'll be zocher to the geula shleima. Amen. Amen.